And good afternoon and welcome to Lambda Weekly. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with Lauren Landis and the late Patty Fink. Doc is here. Josh is here. Josh's alter ego is here. We're just going to talk about the year in review. It's a holiday weekend, so we decided not to... We weren't going to find a guest today, so we decided we'll do what we usually do this show between Christmas and New Year's, and we're going to do just our year-end, year-in-review. There wasn't one story really that stood out this year for the gay community, was there?
No, not at all.
Yeah, not much at all.
No.
Right.
Well, yesterday was 6-month anniversary, wasn't it?
Six-month happy anniversary to all those who married on – happy 6-month anniversary to all those who married on June 26th. Mm-hmm. Of 2015.
Because marriage, that's obviously the number one story.
Yeah.
You know, it's a story that had been ongoing and building, you know, one state, then another state, then another state. And then it was a judge overthrew, another judge overthrew, even though marriage didn't come in quite.
And I think by the time the Supreme Court ruled, there's only 13 states. That didn't
it depended
have.
On how you counted.
Yeah, absolutely. It depended on how you counted. But I do remember a year ago, almost about 2 weeks, Aaron and I went to the Fifth Circuit oral arguments in New Orleans to hear the Texas case and the Louisiana and Mississippi cases.
So that's the beginning of marriage this year.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about just the synopsis of Fifth Circuit.
Well, all of the circuits in the United States had – basically agreed with us that marriage equality should be a right. And in one of those circuits was the Fifth Circuit, which is typically very conservative. But the Texas case, which was brought by Cleopatra De Leon and Nicole Demetman and Mark Ferris and Vic Holmes from Texas, filed suit, made it to the Fifth Circuit about the same time as the case arising from Louisiana, which in fact had been a case where the judge, the trial court judge said, no, the ban can stay in place.
Out of about 60 cases, there were only, I think, three that the judge found that way. There was
right.
The Ohio case that actually went to the Supreme Court. There was that Louisiana case and Puerto Rico.
Right. And then, so they heard the oral arguments, and soon thereafter, I can't remember the date, the Sixth Circuit of the federal U.S. Circuit Courts of Appeals actually bucked everybody. And they said, no, the ban in all of these states can stay because it's constitutional. And so the Supreme Court said, oh, now we have
a difference
split.
Of opinion.
Yeah, now we have a split in the appeals court. So that's when they decided to take Obergefell, which was a conglomeration of suits from
a number of cases,
states.
But the Obergefell case just was the emotional one because Jim and his husband had to fly to Maryland in a medical evacuation plane in order to get married in Baltimore on the runway. They got married there and then flew back, and his husband died about 6 weeks later, 6-8 weeks later from ALS. So that was the emotional story.
Yeah. Right, and the court chooses which one will be the lead.
Yeah.
But there were really two big issues that happened in all of those cases, including, from Texas and on, and that was marriage equality as a right. We must be able to marry. And the other one was recognition.
Right.
And so it was possible that we wouldn't get marriage equality, but that all states had to recognize same-sex marriages performed in jurisdictions where it was
right,
valid and legal. And so those two issues hit the Supreme Court.
Yeah, Mark and Vic in Texas, Mark and Vic wanted the right to marry, and Cleo and Nicole wanted their marriage from Massachusetts to be recognized.
And the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals never ruled.
They never ruled, but after Obergefell, here's what they did. They certified the lower court ruling.
Right.
The Texas lower court ruling. And that's important because here's what happened after the ruling. Nothing much happened between then and the Supreme Court. So the Supreme Court heard the cases and, and then you just have to wait for the ruling. And that came on the 26th of June. And yes, I still almost have no voice. But it was important for them to certify because by certifying the lower court case, that case remains open. And that's what allowed Judge Orlando Garcia to take motions in the case, and there were several motions. One of them was a death certificate motion. One person wanted his name on his husband's death certificate. By doing that, Texas had to, first of all, they weren't going to recognize it because they did. Texas was claiming, well, we don't have to go back before the 26th of June. And Orlando Garcia was saying, well, yes, you do, because when the Supreme Court overturns something, it's as if that law never was there. So, yes, you do have to go back and do it.
And it also left it open for all of these bozo county clerks. There was redress, a remedy in the courts to go back to the courts and say, hey, this is not being complied with.
And in Texas, I think in Texas it was done fairly. Glenn Maxey kind of coordinated all of that. Glenn's a former state representative. And while, yeah, we wanted every county clerk to issue licenses, you know what? If some county clerk's offices that were never going to be asked anyway, didn't come right out and say, but somebody in the office said, I'll issue the license, left it alone at that. I mean, there was none of this Kim Davis nonsense.
Right.
Which is another big story we'll get to later.
Get your jumper suits ready.
Right. Right.
Irion County, kind of Irion. Southwest of – what?
Isn't it Irion County?
Irion. Okay. Yeah. I don't know. So I'm a native Texas. I don't know. Southwest of San Angelo is still the holdout here, but no one's come forward.
No one's applied for a license there, so.
We did have one county clerk in the state who resigned.
Yes.
Over it, but I thought that was,
you know what? Good for her.
Yeah, the classy thing to do.
It was. Mm-hmm. If you can't do your job, move on.
Mm-hmm. Now part of the problem with Kim Davis is the county clerk in Kentucky. In the case of Kentucky, it says specifically the job of the county clerk in the state constitution, and the county clerk is to issue marriage licenses. It's not the job of the county clerk to decide who to issue a marriage license to, just whether those people that are coming in applying for a marriage license fit Kentucky law or not. I mean, if they don't, if they're underage, if they're, you know, brother and sister, that kind of thing. No, you don't qualify. However, if you do qualify, it's not your job to decide. Now, in Alabama, they had a similar situation, but it's not called the county clerk there. I forgot what they're called.
So the probate judges.
The probate judges may issue marriage licenses. So their law doesn't say that they have to, and so Alabama kind of has places where you can't get one still.
Yeah, and that Chief Justice of the Alabama Supreme Court is the guy Moore, whatever it is.
Roy Moore,
yeah. He had been, removed from the court in the past. And
so he ran for Chief Justice.
But he had been had a notorious reputation about the Ten Commandments on public buildings. And then he was the one that told all of the judges in Alabama, don't issue these licenses because it violates the Alabama Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
So that's still somewhat in litigation in Alabama.
And it's interesting also, we expected, and we were placing bets 2 years ago, what's going to be the last holdout? It's going to be Texas. Texas was pretty good, and it's all because of Judge Garcia. Judge Garcia held Ken Paxton in contempt of court. He called him to his courtroom to defend himself against contempt of court.
But why he should not be charged with contempt.
And so he worked pretty quickly and pretty hard to change the rules. Garcia asked Mark and Vic's attorney, how else are gay couples being discriminated against? And he said, well, birth certificates for their kids. And there were some – the example that Neil Lane gave in court was an interesting one. He said, we had a lesbian couple. One is the birth mother. The other mom, in order to protect her rights, adopted the child too. And so the birth mother's name came off of the birth certificate. Because you can't have – at that point, you couldn't have two women on the birth certificate.
In Texas.
So once she adopts, the other mother loses her right to be on the birth certificate.
That's insane.
It's just an idiotic example. So Judge Garcia ordered them to fix those rules. He wanted them fixed like immediately. As they were going through the rules, they found, it's a little bit more complicated than we thought. It took about 3 weeks. I mean, which is fine, because Arkansas, Florida, one or two other states, their equality, Florida equality, Arkansas groups just are filing lawsuits now, this month, for the right to have the second parent's name on a birth certificate.
And what's so ironic, we had State Representative Rafael Anchia, the fabulously wonderful Rafael Anchia, on the show not all that long ago.
Earlier this month.
Mm-hmm. And he's been pushing a bill session after session about addressing this very thing.
Mm-hmm.
And voila. Mm-hmm. You know, so 3 weeks, I think, and all things considered.
Yeah,
considering how the left
and it
works,
was a matter. It wasn't a matter of the right to have the parent's name on the birth certificate. It was a matter of it being equal. So in other words, Texas law says that if you have a married couple, if one of them gives birth, the other married spouse is the presumed second parent. Well, normally it's the wife gives birth, the husband goes on the birth certificate.
Well, not only that, if a heterosexual couple adopts, immediately both of their names go on the birth certificate and the original or the birth parents names come off.
Mm-hmm.
So and that didn't happen with gay couples, so that kept it an effort to keep it equal also.
Right, but it was little things like that. So what they figured was, okay, it's obvious with a lesbian couple, one of the women gives birth, the other one is married to the other one, she goes on the birth certificate. Nice and easy. What if you have surrogate parents? And, well, how does it work with a straight couple? With a straight couple, it could be the woman's eggs, could be the husband's sperm. It might be just one of them because of medical problems or whatever. But both parents would go on the birth certificate.
Yep.
So guess what? Now both parents go on the birth certificate.
Yep.
It's just easier. It's just easier
and
when
it's,
you
and
have
it's fair.
It's fair. It's
fair.
The right thing to do.
Right.
It's
when I say easier for the kid.
It's truthful for the kid.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know,
because these really are that kid's parents.
Yeah.
So speaking of kids, I'm going to go off topic a little bit. You know, we've been talking a little bit about all the crime going on in Oak Lawn. We had three guests on about a month ago. Mm-hmm. One of them was Burke Burnett.
Yes.
Burke was not in this recent crime spree. He was a hate crime victim up in Paris, Texas in 2011. Well, he and his husband, Justin, just had a baby.
Yeah.
Just last week. Cody.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Yeah. It's their second one this year.
Yeah. Congrats.
Yeah. Cute little guy.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Very happy for
that. Nice story. And I said to Blake, you see what can happen to you? Be careful. Blake is one of the other hate crime victims. I said, 4 years, that'll be you. So he said, no.
Well, going back to some of the effects that Debbie and I were talking about before the show, how have we all personally been affected, or other individuals that you know, by the marriage equality ruling? And we all have in some way. Mm-hmm. You're getting married now.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting married.
You're getting married now. And even though we are already married, it is recognized now.
Okay, so let's start with that. You've been married for 46 years. LaRon is very old. He just doesn't like to admit
it. Not even that old.
Okay. Okay, you've been married how long? 8 years.
8 years
you got married,
this summer.
Yeah, you got married a year before Gabrielle was born.
Yes.
You've been married 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing changed. Other than you are married and you file your taxes. Patty will talk about taxes because she's the one who's always.
You know, interesting thing, we have been filing joint taxes for the past 2 years.
Yes. Okay. So
thank you, Obama.
So you've been filing. No, you've been filing joint taxes already. So that kind of thing didn't change. What changed for you? Because you said that.
Well, what changed for us? For some reason, in the past couple of months, I've had to come out to somebody and tell somebody that this is my husband. And I did it, I guess, with a little – I had my head held up a little higher about it. Because before, you know, you tell somebody that, oh, this is my husband or married, you could either visibly see it in their face, or you know they're thinking, okay, yeah, right.
Well, or I think what they were thinking might have been, okay, you're really married, or you're just saying you're married and call him your husband.
Exactly.
You're married, but is that legal here in Texas?
Exactly. Yeah.
And the answer would be, well, no, it's not legal here in Texas, but if we drive west, it is legal as we're driving through New Mexico, but then it's not legal in Arizona. But then
if you go up through Colorado, it would be.
Well, right. It would have been for part of that time, and then you'd have to go through Utah where it's not. But then you get to California, and it is.
And then if we wanted to fly to New York, it is. And if we want to drive over to Danny's sisters in Ohio, well, I actually don't know the answer
to
that one.
Right.
So
it was for a while,
but
then it's not.
Exactly. So,
but you have to file a separate lawsuit.
Yeah.
So I think what you're feeling is – I don't have to go through that kind of stupid explanation anymore.
Exactly.
Are you married? Yes. That's the whole explanation now.
Yep.
And how does it affect you? It doesn't. I mean, somebody else.
Right.
How does it affect them? Doesn't.
It doesn't.
It's just nice and easy. When you take Gabrielle to school, this is Laurent, this is his husband.
Exactly.
When you go to a doctor with your kid, it's, well, no, really, we're both on the birth certificate now and always have been because she wasn't born in Texas.
Right.
And even though Texas wouldn't allow both parents on the birth certificate, Maryland did. And, you know, you didn't have to go through that explanation.
Exactly.
You just presented it. I mean, Suzanne and Sarah, who were the first married couple in Texas, because they sued. Sarah was having some medical issues. And so they sued for the right to get married then, even though they knew marriage equality was coming. Well, they have two daughters who are in their teens. Suzanne is one of the top adoption attorneys in the state.
Mm-hmm.
One's on one birth certificate, one's on the other one's birth certificate. And it wasn't until this year that they're both on the birth certificate. The way Suzanne put it was, every other kid, when we took them to school, presented a birth certificate. I presented a full file.
Wow.
Yeah, because it was – I mean, realistically, that's what you had to do.
That's what you had to do.
Wow.
You had to show, here are the adoption orders. Here's the, the birth certificate with my name. Here's the
– But it's been interesting, too, because the Obama administration, very early on in 2009 when he took office, said if you're receiving federal money as a hospital or a care center, you have to recognize the partners of –
Right.
Of others. And then, boom, here we have marriage equality. And look, what the Department of Justice issued this enormous paper about all the ways it's affected Social Security and passports and all these things.
Right.
So. We're going to take a break. You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM. This is just our year in review week. We'll be back with more Lambda Weekly right after this.
This is Lewis from UT Arlington, and I listen to Lambda Weekly podcasts at lambdaweekly.com.
And welcome back to Lambda Weekly. I'm Dave Taffet here with the late Patty Fink and Laurent Landis.
We're just talking about year-end review stuff.
Real nice story just this weekend. Monica Cordova, who is a public information officer for the Dallas Police Department, she was named Officer of the Year.
That is awesome.
That is awesome.
Now, I had been in touch with Monica for several years. I write for Dallas Voice. And it wasn't until I started going to these god-awful meetings for the Police and Fire Pension Board that I realized Monica was lesbian. But of the PIOs, they're all good. And I'm not criticizing the others. But Monica was always that good. So if I'd get through to Monica right away, it would be, oh, good. She'll just get me the information I need. You know, no BS, nothing. And if she doesn't know, she's going to get it to me. She'll find out. She'll get it to me quickly. Mm-hmm. She's great. She just really does her job really well. So for that alone, I'm delighted she got it. She's just good. So we're sitting at these pension board meetings, and the police and fire pension, for them to decide that lesbian officers should get equal benefits, took them 6 months. Problem is, the board is made up of 4 city council people, all for it, 4 fire department people, all against it, 4 police department people, 3 or 4 against it. So we're sitting there, and one officer, because they decided to finally, let's play good cop, bad cop. Mm-hmm. And I had said to Monica, bring your kid next time. They're not getting it. Bring a visual aid. So she did. And one other officer, playing bad cop, she stood up, she said, if something happens to me and I'm killed in the line of duty, my wife will not get benefits. Are you willing to give up those benefits for your wife while we're discussing this for another few months? And they just looked at her like she was from Mars. And she said, no, I'm asking you. And she specifically addressed one particular person who was one of the bad holdouts, one of the ones from the police. Are you willing to give up those benefits for your wife until we resolve this? Because I don't have them for mine. Then Monica stood up with her little four-year-old kid, and she said...
Her visual aid.
Her visual. They needed it, because she had mentioned him before, right over their heads. Mm-hmm. I mean, right over their heads. They just weren't getting it. And she said, if something happens to me, my wife won't be covered, and my son will not get my pension. Now, all of you, your children were covered and would have been covered. She said, I'm not afraid to do anything that might happen, you know, that might result in my death as a police officer. That's my duty. But knowing that my child won't be taken care of when all of yours will be, it's just not fair. Mm-hmm. Now, I wrote a little article. I posted it online. I've never gotten such disgusting, hateful comments as I have on this.
Really?
Over the last 24 hours. Yeah, which I find interesting. People I don't know, which I also found interesting. The other thing that's so interesting about this, 25 years ago, Micah England sued the Dallas Police Department for the right to apply to become a Dallas police officer. Mm-hmm. Here we are, a lesbian was named Officer of the Year. And
that's
I think,
to me. That's what a great evolution.
That's – okay, it came full circle. It's not just that gays and lesbians can be officers. It's that one of them was named – best officer. I think part of it also was Chief Brown saying, we need to change these seven people on the police and fire pension board. Let's get some people who live in this century.
Well, and it was a banner year, I think, too, for the city in other ways, too.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very obviously active in the Dallas Gay and Lesbian Alliance, and the DGLA PAC this year endorsed in 15 of 15 seats, which has never, ever happened.
And 15 of 15 seats signed welcome to the city for the Pride Parade,
first time.
15.
That's awesome.
I mean, so we had some landmark stuff this year.
Yeah, that's one of those. No, it's not awesome. You know what it is? It's them doing their job. Just because you don't like who's coming to visit, your job is to generate revenue for the city as a city council person. And one of the ways that you generate revenue is when 50,000 people are going to be in an event – sign a letter saying welcome to our city. And the fact that some of them wouldn't, they weren't doing their jobs. First mm-hmm. time this year that they all did their job.
And hopefully it's one of those things that will happen year after year and become a tradition to do it. And you'll be, you know, super scrutinized
if you don't
refuse.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, there was a
that's what happened with when Laura Miller started writing in the Pride Parade.
Yeah.
And during her tenure, mm-hmm. she did a partial term, finishing out Ron Kirk's term. Mm-hmm. And then she had her own term. And every year she rode in the parade. And it's hard to buck that after you've been doing it for many years.
You know, there was a T.D. Jakes or somebody like that brought in tens of thousands of people to something at the convention center. Do I think every single council person supports what he does? No, not necessarily. But you know what? He brought in tens of thousands of people. Sign a letter welcoming them to the city.
Right.
You know, do your job.
Right.
And that's all that was to mm-hmm. me. It was several council people not doing their job. But the thing that I like that the city did, finally finished straightening out a number of ordinances.
Yeah, absolutely. and in fact, the equality resolution that was passed in 2014, we got most of it done before a year had passed. So both pension boards, there's a civilian pension board as well, that was done, and both pension boards were done before being forced to by the Supreme Court. Mm-hmm. And so we had a number of other things that occurred, and the updating or correcting, clarifying definitions in Chapter 46, which is the non-discrimination ordinance that affects non-employees, So it affects people who live here, who work here, who visit here, in employment, housing, and public accommodations.
If you've ever wanted a proof of how Dallas is different from Houston, that was it.
Yeah.
And so the Municipal Equality Index came out last week. Dallas got 100, Fort Worth got 99. You live where?
I was a kid. I had no choice in the matter.
No. But you live where?
I live in Garland.
Yeah, okay.
I thought you were talking about Houston.
Yeah, you got a zero. Houston, though, got, I think, somewhere around 45 for their disgraceful behavior in that election.
What they did in Chapter 46, which is the non-discrimination ordinance, was a very simple change. All of these years, these 13 years that it's been in place, without anybody claiming dressing up as a female to go into a male dressing up to
so that they can rape females in bathrooms.
And then claim that the ordinance protects them. Right. That's never happened in the United States, much less in Dallas, Texas, or in Houston, Texas.
Or in Houston,
But what the council did was approve changes to the definition. From May 8th, 2002, the definition for sexual orientation had included gender identity and expression. Mm-hmm. And so to find protections based on gender identity and expression, you had to go look through the definitions. And then everywhere in the ordinance, it said sexual orientation. And so many in our community couldn't see themselves in the ordinance at all. And they go to say, am I protected by this? And my trans and nonconforming, gender nonconforming people who live or visit the city. So they separated those definitions and then placed gender identity expression throughout the ordinance where it should be, along with sexual orientation. And so that was the simple change. Mm-hmm. And you would think that,
With little or no fanfare.
Well, fanfare came from out of the city. There was little or no fanfare in Dallas.
Yeah.
Because in Dallas, I think people understood. There were newspaper articles written about it. There was news about it that this is not really a change. It's a change in wording, basically, nothing.
It took at least 24 hours, if not 48, 72, to get the press and the media in Dallas to report it correctly. A lot of people were reporting that outlets were reporting that it was a new ordinance. No, it's been around for 13 years. Mm-hmm. It has a long track record.
Wording was corrected. And by corrected, all we mean is you'd use current wording as opposed to...
Well, and separate two things that are not the same thing.
Yeah.
Right. That are shoved in the same definition as the same thing.
Yeah. Right.
You know, I mean, that was the biggest thing. Mm-hmm. And yet, you know, like this bozo from Houston that sort of led the effort is a guy who wants to be chair of the Republican Party of Texas, Jared Woodfill. And he's gone to extremes to say, hey, pick me. And he's got folks like Kathy Adams from the Eagle Forum and such, and Don Huffines, who's a state senator here in Dallas, supporting him. And, you know, Kathy Adams and Don Huffines act like this is a new ordinance. They didn't even know it was in place. Mm-hmm. And you know what?
Because you know what? It doesn't really affect anybody. Unless you try to discriminate against somebody.
But the crazy truth is that it has been before voters. They're saying, it's never been discussed or put before the people to vote. And it wasn't. She voted for it. It was on her ballot, and she voted in that election in far north Dallas.
Wow.
She voted on this issue. Mm. You know, so it's insane. And they weren't trying to bring that kind of, repeal stuff to Dallas.
And when I say it doesn't affect you, unless you really try to discriminate against somebody, it doesn't affect you. And most people, even as hateful as that, they're not discriminating against people when it comes right down to it because they're not in contact with people who are different than themselves to discriminate against.
Yeah. So. Well, I was going to switch gears a little bit, talking about trans and trans rights. One of the biggest stories this year was Caitlyn Jenner, the former Olympian and reality star, formerly Bruce Jenner, now Caitlyn Jenner. And I don't know. I thought that was an interesting year for her. It's got a lot of backlash that I didn't really understand, not just from the straight community, but from our own community. But I wanted to, I understand some of it now. At the time, I did not. But I, before we go on about her, I definitely wanted to encourage everybody. One of the best shows, I think, or best things to watch this year was Diane Sawyer's coverage of Caitlyn's transition. It was on 2020. She just won an award last week for it. She won the DuPont Award, which is the biggest broadcast journalism award you could win. And it was a great. It was great. So I encourage everybody to go watch it. Not necessarily for Caitlyn Jenner, but just how they cover it, the whole trans issue in itself. Very, very well done. But back to Caitlyn Jenner. I don't know. I think a lot of people have problems with, I guess, all the accolades that she has received. I know on social media they blew up when she won the Woman of the Year award for Glamour magazine. What do y'all think about that?
Well, just
people really up in arms about it.
Patty was up for that award too, and she is pissed.
And you know what? I would have given it to Patty first.
Oh, thank you, thank you.
Seriously,
thank you. But I think when you're on this side of the activism and trying to advance trans equality, mm-hmm. Caitlyn Jenner, good for her. You know, she's got an authentic life that she's living now, and it's she's got her own journey. But she is in no way, shape, or form typical of the trans experience for most people in this country. It is, and I think you know her seeking in some of the episodes, she's out seeking to learn about the community. She comes with white privilege. She comes with white male privilege. She comes with
celebrity privilege.
She comes with lots of things that are
she comes with her people.
Kind of make her tone deaf to what other people truly experience, and they don't have the kind of money that she has, and
never will.
And yeah, exactly. And so she doesn't understand that you know there are people in the trenches who are lost their jobs and can't stay employed because nobody will they can't live their authentic lives and stay employed with people who are bigots. And there are protections in most 34 states have no protections, including Texas. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, they don't understand that people are subjected to violence, forced to do sex work, and there's such enormous stigma associated with doing sex work. But when you gotta eat, you gotta eat.
Right.
And you know, just the desperation to live. And so she's so disconnected from all of that. Anyway, just recently, she and her entourage came to Houston to talk about Hero. Never contacted anybody in the trans community.
Mm-hmm. Oh wow!
Who live in Houston?
I didn't know that.
That was one of my
huge
not questions, but you know, just trying to process it. Okay, so when Caitlyn was still calling herself Bruce, but the show was about to start because changing the name was one of the episodes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you know, and that's different than the way most trans people. Come out as trans, they don't do it on TV. If I'm doing a national TV show about something and I have access to anybody and everybody, I'm going to contact the top people in that field or of whatever it is. So I was talking that week to Mara Kiesling, who is the executive director of National Center for Transgender Equality. And I said, so did Bruce, at the time, Jenner, call you? And she said, no. I said, don't you think that's odd? There are like three national transgender organizations. You're real easy to get in touch with. I have your cell phone number. If I ever need anything, I just call you. You're always accessible to anybody.
The NCT has an office in Washington, D.C. I've been to it.
Yes.
They have offices. They have public phones.
If you're doing a national TV show, wouldn't you contact one of those executive directors? Because I asked her, have the others had any contact? What about, do you know, how about Laverne Cox or
Janet Mock?
Or Janet Mock.
You know, somebody who really is. There aren't that many transgender people who are at that level. And she said, yeah, no, as far as I know, not at all. I said, don't you think that's a little odd? Just to ask, what are some of the pitfalls I might run into?
Odd, yes, but I'm going to play devil's advocate here. Did she have to?
No.
And is it a bad thing?
She didn't have to. I think it's a bad thing.
Okay.
I think it's a bad thing.
Why?
And here's why. Because if you're going to be thrust into this position because you've decided to thrust yourself into that position in terms of doing it very publicly on television to a wide audience, mm-hmm. I think you better get it right.
And especially being the first one doing anything like this.
Exactly. And let your audience learn as you do, you know, but know where you should know before they, you know, before.
And I think that was one of the reasons that she didn't want to do that. I only saw two episodes. In one of these episodes, she meets somebody who is homeless, I think doing sex work, you know, just scraping to get by. And they're talking. Well, didn't you have any aspirations? Isn't there some? Yes, I wanted to go to nursing school. And they're talking about that. And, you know, well, how long would that program be? 2 years. How much would it cost? And they're going through that whole thing. She goes out of the room and she's talking to her producer and she says, let's just pay for her nursing school. She has a good heart.
Oh, enormous heart. You know, I saw that episode.
I think she didn't want to contact or be too prepared ahead of time because if she was, she wouldn't have had maybe the same reaction because she genuinely didn't know that went on.
And like I said, at first I didn't get it. I'm getting it more now. But I also kind of trying to look at the other side of the coin that, you know, she really does live in a bubble.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is a celebrity. You know, and I think maybe she was just trying to go it alone because she was in the closet. And a trans person in a closet for us normal folks is different from a trans person who is a celebrity, got cameras in their face and watching them all the time.
And paparazzi.
And paparazzi.
They show her ducking and
exactly.
dodging paparazzi to get into a car.
Please, Bruce Jenner created the Kardashians.
He did.
I don't want to hear about... Oh, gee, maybe there'll be paparazzi around. They invented the format.
Sure.
You know, no. Anybody else? No, no, no.
Well, do you remember a number of years ago, it's been quite a few years ago now, where the governor of New Jersey, Jim McGreevy, was going to announce that he was gay.
Well, he's a gay American.
Yeah, but he contacted the Human Rights Campaign and said, how do you say that? How mm-hmm. do you say, how do I say I'm gay? And they said, say I'm a gay American.
Wow.
And so he did contact somebody and say, what's the best way to do this? What's the best way for me, for the gay community, for everyone? How do I say this?
And that's my point, that had there been some contact, just a little bit of contact, there might have been some things that might have come out a little bit better. We need to take a break. You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM. I'm Dave Taffet. My voice is going. That's where that came from. We'll be back with more right after this.
Hi, this is Patty Fink, and you're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM.
And welcome back to Lambda Weekly. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with Lauren Landis and the late Patty Fink. We were just talking a little bit about Caitlyn Jenner. Did you want to wrap that up?
Well, I mean, we were just saying that there is the other side, and you did bring out the point that if for no other reason, it was good that Caitlyn Jenner has come out because she has put a face on transgender people.
It was the Ellen thing. It was the Will and Grace
exactly.
thing. She was in people's living
exactly.
rooms, and people who had no idea what a transgender person even
right.
was now understand something about it. That's good.
That's a great thing.
I think it's good. I think a lot of the really vile kind of hate stuff, you know, came out. You know, we had that whole what's her name, Rachel Dolezal thing that
I
happened.
Totally forgot about that.
That happened
Patty.
Right after,
yes, it
and
did.
So
it did.
They a lot of you know really asinine, you know, low information idiots.
And for those who don't know what Patty's talking about, this is the woman who
is white.
Is white. She has white parents. She's Caucasian and has lived a life
a
telling people that she is black for the past 20 something years.
Right.
And it just came to light.
And it came to light right after Caitlyn
right.
came out. And so there was a whole swath of this country that commingled those things and made fun of both of them.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, like somehow diminished Caitlyn's experience by comparing her mm-hmm. directly.
You know, and I think part
it
of our criticism there about, you know, contact, we wanted her to do it better. We're not really – we're saying she's odd, and there's no question. And she's a Kardashian. There's no getting away from – you know, she invented the Kardashians. But we wanted her to do it as well as she possibly could.
Because she has –
it's a unique position being the
unique
first.
Unique position and
– she has clout like no other transgender person that we know of right now.
The first who has their own show. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
Because there are others. And there are – you know, when we talk about trans women of color, the hate crimes that have happened occurred this year specifically to trans women of color.
Yeah.
In terms of murders.
Can we talk about that?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
For just a minute. 27 of them that we know of in the United States, one of them was solved. One of them was Ty Underwood, happened in January. Tyler Police, one of the best police departments in Texas for solving hate crimes. When Nicholas West was attacked and murdered in 1993, first time a Texas police department anywhere took a hate crime against a gay person seriously. A judge in Dallas just a year or two before that, Judge Hampton, said, well, I gave him a lower sentence just because he was gay, because the victim was gay.
He was just a homosexual.
Yeah.
Right. He would never have used the word gay, right? But Ty Underwood, they got somebody, caught him within 2 weeks, and, voice is going real badly. Caught him within 2 weeks. About a week and a half ago, he was convicted. About a week and a half ago, the guy who killed Ty Underwood.
Oh, gotcha. I thought we were still talking about
Nicholas.
Nicholas.
This is Ty Underwood, killed in January. Trial was earlier this month, and he was given life in prison. Tyler takes those kinds of things seriously, and I can tell you from talking to the Tyler Police Department, they were serious about that case from the get-go. To them, it was just a person who was killed, and they were going to solve that one, period. They were going to solve it. There was no question in anybody's mind they were going to get to the bottom of that one, and they did.
Good for them.
It was within 2 weeks.
Doing their jobs.
Good for them. Out of 27 murders, only one of those trans murders, I think. There might be one other that was solved somewhere.
Right.
But it hasn't made news if it has.
And mentioning doing jobs, we referenced Kim Davis early in our show, but talk a little more in depth about it now. This is the Kentucky clerk, county clerk, who made the news, stayed in the news, and is still in the news. It's not completely over with, for refusing to issue marriage licenses. Even after the Supreme Court ruling, she spent 5 days in jail because of it. And now, just what was it last week, Governor Matt Bevin has issued an executive order saying that county clerks' names don't have to appear on
because the Tea Party license. Republican beat out Governor Beshear, who was a Democrat and who had overseen
he's
all.
He's only the second Republican in what?
In years.
In years. Long time.
Years. It's 30 years since Kentucky's had a Republican governor.
And so, but now they're saying, this is what I said, it's still not over with. Now some legal experts are saying what the governor just did with his executive order really can't be done because that is determined by Kentucky law, what goes on a marriage certificate. So she's going to be in the news for a little while longer, but I just thought the whole thing
was just a circus.
It is completely a circus.
The other thing that's new with that one is the couple that brought her to fame said they're really sorry that they did, not because they didn't think they deserved their marriage license. They did, but because she's such an obnoxious thing.
Yeah.
They're just sorry that they gave her those 10 minutes of fame that's going on 2 hours.
Well, if you get a chance and you haven't seen it, go to YouTube or NBC.com and get the video of Miley Cyrus's opening to Saturday Night Live when she hosted.
Oh,
because that's just the best ever. It's a whole kind of year in review as well. And it's a great Kim Davis moment.
Gotta watch that.
So go for it.
Do you have the top 10 tweets?
I do, but just before that, earlier this week, a suicide bomber in Afghanistan on a bicycle killed six NATO officers, one of which was an Air Force major who is believed to be the first openly gay woman killed in combat. And she had worked very, very hard to defeat, to bring about the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. And that was Air Force Major Adriana Vorgenbruggen, who is survived now by her wife, Heather, and son, Jacob. So
she was the commander of the base, wasn't she?
I believe so. Mm-hmm. I believe so. Let me find my tweets here.
So what is this, the top tweets of 2015?
The top 10 tweets of 2015. And I'm just going to preface this with a little spoiler by saying that there are 10 of them, right? The top 10.
Uh-huh.
Five of them are by or about One Direction.
The group One Direction?
The group One Direction.
Oh, wow.
But the number 10 was, in fact, Caitlyn Jenner. Oh, wait. I'm trying to show me a video in the middle of this. but there was also one by Leonard Nimoy's last tweet.
Oh yeah,
where his parting things on it was "Live long and prosper." It was tweeted by him 4 days before his death.
Huh.
There was also one in Arabic, wishing, calling for prayers for the new king of Saudi Arabia. Mm-hmm. And there was one of them also was the President Barack Obama. Celebrating the marriage equality decision by the Supreme Court of the United States. Top tweets of the year. Let me see if I can find the other one. Oh, and Kanye West announcing his 2020 presidential bid.
Yes, why is he waiting till 2020?
I don't know.
Who knows? Who knows?
Just I kind of went, oh, One Direction and Kanye West.
maybe he wants to wait till Hillary runs.
Blood transfusion rules were sort of changed, not really at all.
Got worse, actually, I think.
No, it didn't get worse. It's just...
It's well, still a little...
I think it's even more stigmatizing and more ridiculous.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
Okay, so the old rules were men who had sex with men could not donate blood.
If you've had sex with a man within the past
30 years. Mm-hmm. So because testing the blood... We'll find if there's HIV in the blood within 5 days of contact, so we don't want your blood if you've had sex with another man 30 years ago. The new rule is you have to be celibate for a year in order, if you're a gay man,
to give blood. Specify.
Get specified gay man.
Gay man.
Give blood.
Because HIV can't be transmitted by straight women or straight men.
No.
Or men who lie on their form.
No. Now, rest assured, all blood is tested, and they find the HIV in the blood, mm-hmm. because it's going to show up. If you take an HIV test, like an oral swab test, it might not catch it from last night. You have to give it like a 7-8 day window. Testing blood in the blood supply is maybe 4 days. Something like that, 4 or 5 days. So you have to be celibate for a year. Now, I'd get it if the rule was a month. And you know why? Because, again, people lie.
Mm-hmm. But people lie now. I mean, this is as ridiculous as the Texas legislature years ago wanting to say, if you're gay, you can't be a foster child, a foster parent.
Mm-hmm.
And it's arbitrarily saying gay people will be bad foster parents, and straight people automatically by inherent in their sexual orientation of being straight are great foster
these kids
parents.
That are coming out of homes, what kind of homes do you think they're coming out of? Well, not gay couples.
Yep.
So let's put it in context.
It's the same thing.
What you said earlier before the show. I've been with my husband for 18 and a half years now.
Mm-hmm.
I know my status. And Charlie Sheen could have just, I couldn't donate blood, but Charlie Sheen could have gone in and just donated
blood.
So
you have a gay male couple that is monogamous. Now, are all gay male couples monogamous? No. I'm saying when you have a gay male couple that is monogamous, that couple and knows their status and they're both negative, they cannot give blood.
Right.
When you have a straight couple, let's say you have the husband and wife that go off to the blood bank together. And are you both monogamous? The husband's going to say, sure I am. Of course I am. He's going to lie in front of his wife. Are you kidding?
I wonder if they, do they contact people when they discover something in their blood?
They do.
Yes.
And two, how many people have been contacted how many allegedly straight men have been contacted by blood banks because they found the HIV virus.
And more likely, how many women have been contacted because they found the HIV virus in their blood?
All right. A lot.
All right.
And they find it. The point is, the blood supply is safe because they catch it. But the rule is a year.
All gay men.
All gay men. Now, most news reports that I saw locally said gay men may now give blood or something to that effect. Mm-hmm. And that is not true.
Or it says something like ban lifted.
Ban lifted for gay men.
Right.
No, it wasn't.
But it was
eased.
It was changed.
It wasn't eased at all.
It was changed. It was reworded.
It was reworded.
That's all it was. It was reworded.
Now, do you know what group can give blood now for the first time? Bisexual men who are now dating women. So you have, and that's going to be a lot of people. A bisexual man, 20 years ago, he was dating men, women. Since then, he's gotten married. He's now married to a woman, and he's monogamous with her.
But he self-identifies as bisexual. Right. So the rewording of the rule is just insane too.
Well, no, the old rule was men. The old rule was men who have sex with men. So he was excluded. So he was excluded because over the past 30 years he had sex with people of the same sex. So that's the one group that I can think of that can now give blood.
So what I haven't read, what made them even come to that decision?
Oh, because it's so outdated.
It is outdated.
I mean, in 1983, when they came up with the rule, we didn't know much about the transmission, but we did know that people getting transfusions of blood from people who had HIV were getting HIV, who had AIDS were getting AIDS. We knew that. So let's ban people. Back to 1979, when the first cases were around, if you've had sex with another person from a likely group that was passing HIV at the time, was passing AIDS, we didn't know what HIV was yet, made sense in 1983. Stuff's changed. First of all, we have very accurate testing now. We know how it's transmitted. But we have accurate testing.
Yep.
The blood supply is not compromised. What annoys me about this is that they're pretending that this is a big change.
And that it's better.
And that it's better somehow.
Right.
It's not. It's not. It's the same.
If anything, it's opened up more loopholes for people.
I think so.
Because if you say men having sex with men versus gay men, you'd have to self-identify as gay in order for that to apply to you. And people can self-identify as bisexual.
But it really doesn't matter. Right. And you know why? Because they test the blood.
Exactly.
Right. Right.
They do test the blood. Period. End of story on that one. I mean, seriously. They test the blood. So,
So looking forward to the new year, what changes should we look forward to as far as, you know, legally for our community now that we have marriage equality?
Well, Dave and I will be legally married. Not to each other.
Not to each other.
Because that
was going really.
That will defeat the whole point of this show.
Wow. Okay. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
He's my beard. Yep.
Now, and she's my beard. How would that work? Here's what I'd like to see for the new year: all of this crime in Oak Lawn to stop.
Absolutely.
I'd like some people arrested. You know, they're closing in. They haven't gotten to who's done it yet, so need to do that. Need to do that, and the community needs to stay vigilant. And people who saw anything, especially a couple of the recent ones, where one of them happened, it should have been in plain view. Somebody should have had. Somebody knows something. Call the police. You know.
I'd also like to see no anti-LGBT person win the White House in 2016.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a really good one.
It's
going to be an interesting year because of the upcoming election.
Yep.
Because you know what? We don't have any big changes in law other than the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and of course the marriage equality, which came through the courts. But the executive orders under this administration or the Obama administration have been enormous and life-changing for people.
Absolutely.
And an idiot bigot winning the White House would roll
could
all that back.
Could change those.
Totally change those.
Yeah. So that's a big one. That's my wish for 2016.
Well, everybody have a happy new year.
Happy new year.
Happy new year.
We will be back next week with more Lambda Weekly. See you.